Well, folks, I'm really excited to share with you a special promotion that we're going to be running for this week's broadcast. And what this is it's a workbook that I wrote that's called Understanding Shame, Breaking the Power of the Addictive Spiral. And this is a great little resource. It's not a complicated or real long workbook, but it really attacks the issue of shame and will help to really clarify what shame is all about, the effects of shame, and then how to break free from shame. So again, the workbook is Understanding Shame, and here's how you can get it for absolutely no cost. If you will go to our store online, it's pureliferesources.com. Again, that's www.pureliferesources.com. And then when you order the resource Understanding Shame, when you go to check out, just use the promo code SHAMEFREE. Again, that SHAMEFREE will be your coupon code. Use that and you'll get the resource for free. Now you're going to want to move on this because this promotion is only going to be good for the next 2 weeks. Go to pureliferesources.com. Use coupon code SHAMEFREE when you order the Understanding Shame workbook and you'll get your workbook for free.
Today, radio listeners, it's time for
Pure Sex Radio.
This is the best in mobile talk radio. We exist to train men and educate women in overcoming lust, pornography, and sexual addiction. Your host is author and speaker Jonathan Darty, director of Be Broken Ministries. Today's broadcast, Healing Hidden Wounds with Lee Preston, focuses on helping individuals who struggle with unwanted same-sex attraction. Lee Preston is the founder of Shadow of His Wings Ministry. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Lee on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. This is our Healing Hidden Wounds segment with Lee Preston. My name is Jonathan Darty. How are you doing, Lee?
I'm good. How are you, Jonathan?
Good. Well, we're going to be talking this week about something that is becoming increasingly common, I think, in our culture, and that is men who look and act and work, just appear like every other guy that you might imagine as quote-unquote normal, yet they're struggling inwardly with very strong, confusing homosexual feelings. And so, Lee, why don't you tell us kind of what you're seeing happen in our culture and then what this kind of looks like as it seems to be growing in our culture of men who are playing the part, so to speak, of what they might consider to be what every man is supposed to look like, yet secretly dealing with very difficult, confusing questions inwardly about their sexuality.
Well, I will, Jonathan. I think it's important because I think I want to first of all commend those men out there who are married and who are struggling to try to make their marriage work, even through homosexual struggles. I commend those men who struggle heterosexually as well in addiction. But I think those men who struggle through marriage, I think they desire God's best, which is to be married, to be a man of one wife, and to have children. And unfortunately, they may have gone into that marriage thinking, well, this is the next obvious step in my life. I've finished school or I've gotten my career, and now it's time to move into marriage. And yet they knew the struggles were there. They may have even already acted on them, but they're not quite sure what to do now because they've met a girl and they fell in love and whatever they understood love to be at the time and decided this was the next obvious step. And they go through the motions of marrying her and then they still struggle internally with these feelings and thoughts and uncontrolled desires.
What is going through a guy's mind when he's dating a woman and kind of going through that perceived love. I mean, kind of whatever. It's almost like what you're making it sound like is this guy has kind of just maybe looked around and seen some of the other guys around him and kind of, okay, so this apparently is how you, you know, pursue a woman. This is kind of how you fall for a woman. And so, therefore, I'm going to, in essence, kind of copy what I'm seeing other men do. But what is going through that guy's mind? Is there no real attraction, or is it all pretend, or I mean, or is it kind of more convoluted than that?
Oh, I think it's. I don't think it is at all a feeling of there being no attraction. I think it's more accepting the best part of the attraction that they can muster. I know I can speak to that from my own experience. When I married the first time, I loved my wife. I loved my first wife. I loved her, who she was, but we were best friends. We weren't really lovers. And I realize that now. I didn't back then. Back then, I knew that we could go through the motions, or I knew I could go through the motions. I could see what other people did. I could do those things. I could, you know, woo her with flowers and candy and attention, and yet there wasn't a real strong attraction there, or a desire. And I know that now that God's best is that women need to feel that desire, and I understand that that just wasn't there. But I think guys sometimes get into marriage wanting that, and so they hope for the best as they go through the motions of trying to be the husband and do the things they're supposed to do, yet the desire, the physical attraction sometimes isn't there, and trying to work through that in a marriage.
Well, and I guess I have to ask, okay, what's the difference here, Lee? Because much of what you just described right there, I've experienced, you know, and I know a lot of other heterosexual men who've experienced the same thing where, you know what, that desire isn't always there. That even that sexual attraction isn't always there 100% of the time. And so, again, what's going on in this man's head who is going through those motions and makes him different from the heterosexual guy who, in some ways, in his own tendencies, is kind of going through the motions at times? But what makes this other guy want to turn to homosexual acting out or homosexual thoughts versus the heterosexual over here who he may have his moments of not feeling like he's desiring his wife, but he doesn't go there. He doesn't go to the homosexual thoughts.
Well, I think, you know, if you put these two guys side by side, you wouldn't probably be able to tell the difference. I mean, yeah, we've talked on the shows before that there's usually a change in identity, that there's, you know, and that can cause physical changes.
But just
on the
looking
outward.
At them, you wouldn't necessarily.
Right. You may see some effeminate characteristics in the guy who struggles with homosexuality simply because of the sin. The sin in and of itself causes that sometimes. But on the outside, you're not going to see a huge difference. But on the inside, you're going to see on the homosexual struggler a guy who's already been struggling with his attraction. The guy who's got the heterosexuals, you know, who's the heterosexual guy who just doesn't always feel attracted to his wife or doesn't always desire his wife, he has desired her at one point or the other, and he at least in general desires the feminine in his desire for sex and his desire for relationship. Whereas the guy who has the homosexual struggles, he has desired the masculine because that's where the mystery is for him. You know, and that's why usually in marriages where the guy struggles with homosexuality, he will marry what he would call his best friend. He'll marry the girl who knows him inside and out, and they have a great time together, and they know all their favorite colors and favorite foods, but there's just not the fire there that's there initially for the guy who's got the heterosexual, who's the heterosexual guy who has the desire for his wife initially and falls for her physically, because we know that the physical, the eye is the first, tends to be the first thing that that falls. You know, it's like I look at a girl, I fall for her, I'm attracted to her, that leads me to want to date her. Usually on the other side, where it's the homosexual struggler, it's usually not his eye that catches, it's his heart. He sees that she's a good person, he sees that she's a good friend, he sees that she's gentle and kind and nurturing and all of those things, and he wants that.
It's almost more of a mental or logical decision versus a heart and emotional. I mean, not that we make our decisions based on our emotions, but it seems like it's more heavily weighted for him on just this makes sense rather than I can't live without her. I'm passionate and just desire her and want her more than anything else.
Right. And those are the words that most wives say if they've married a man who has homosexual struggles. They say they never really have found because they don't know. They never heard those. They never felt that, you know, he can't live without me.
And that creates doesn't that create even a unique sort of confusion for the wives in these situations because they're not quick to beat up their husband because they've been a good provider and a good communicator and it's like all these things that they've done well in their role as a best friend husband. And so it's hard for the wives sometimes. Maybe it's almost like they have this intuition that, you know what, something's missing from our relationship. But in the same way that a heterosexual guy who maybe is struggling secretly with sexual addiction, his wife will also kind of have that intuition of something's missing. But neither one of those wives can put their finger on exactly what it is.
Right. I was talking to a wife one time, and I said, you know, sometimes in this, because it was a wife of a man who I'd been working with in counseling, and I said, sometimes in this situation, the wife feels like she's not really married to her husband. She's married more to like, and she interrupted me and said, like, my brother? And I said, oh. And she said, yeah, I feel like I'm married to my brother or to my, like, he's married to his sister. Like, we just have a brother-sister relationship. We're close. We love each other. But there's not a spark there. There's not any fire there. And that's an uncomfortable place for the wife because she does still desire to be desired. And he wants to do that as well. And I want to offer that message of hope today. God can do that. It takes work. It takes working together to build that place, to find more and more healing from the homosexual struggles. But he can help the man find that. And he also has to learn how to press into that because it's not something he's ever learned before.
Well, see, as you're saying that, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, okay, no man can live in that state perpetually. And so what I was thinking is, okay, at what point then does this start to break down? What are some signs, so to speak, in this couple's relationship that begin to make it pretty evident, okay, this is what's going on. This man is struggling with same-sex attraction. I mean, because I'm thinking something has to start crumbling at some point. Because you can't hold the facade forever.
Sure. And I think, you know, again, I think this is where you see a lot of similarities in heterosexual addiction versus homosexual addiction. Because what you start to see is the wife feeling less and less attended to. She gathers more of her relation and relationship from outside sources, from her family, from friends. And he is really kind of becomes not as much of a part of the relationship anymore. He's known for the paycheck, or he's known for being a good father, or he's known for being a good provider, but he's not really known as being a great husband. And so she begin, and that's kind of where you begin to see that. And then he may find himself, as we see with addicted people, and drifting away, pulling away and finding things on the internet or staying at work more or those sorts of things. And I don't want to say that and every wife go, oh my gosh, my husband stays at work late. He must be struggling
right,
with this. And that's not true. But it is about saying, you know, it's like, you know, Elaine said, you know, I see it in the fruit of our relationship. And that's what you have to see is what's the fruit of our relationship? What am I seeing here? Am I seeing a husband who's my best friend, but he doesn't really desire to be with me? Or do I see a husband who desires to be with me? And I think that's where you got to look for the fruit.
Well, Lee, what do you say to the guys who are listening who are in the situation right now? I mean, and it's secret. I mean, it's a secret right now because most of these guys are not going into their marriage transparent about their feelings. In fact, a lot of them are going into their marriage hoping that the marriage will change the struggle that they're having with their same-sex attraction. So what do you say to those guys in our audience who right now are in this situation. They're married. Maybe they've got kids. They've been doing this for maybe a number of years in terms of the struggle. Maybe they haven't acted on it, you know, physically, but boy, it's there. It's gnawing at their minds. What do you say to that person? What do they need to do in order to kind of break out of that pattern?
Come clean. Be willing to just go ahead and come clean. And that's
with who? Their wife?
I think it has to start with their wife. If she's never known about the struggle, it's time that she knows. Because what she does is she sits in the corner and wonders, what is it about me that he doesn't like? Mm. And so she needs to at least hear that there's something about him that he still struggles with and is trying to work on. Second of all, talking to somebody who can help him in this area, a counselor, somebody who knows what this is about, and then can say, this is what you need to start doing. It's not a hopeless situation. It sounds hopeless, but I commend the guy who wants to get it to where it should be. I commend the guy who wants a marriage that really is full of the things and the gifts that God has in store for him. But he's not there yet, and he's probably feeling pretty much like he's failing at it. You know, if I'm failing at this, then, you know, and so which leads to even more addiction usually, because if I feel like a failure, then I'm going to go try to find something to medicate. And so trying to help him see, hey, you're fighting the good fight, but you got to go past the level that you're used to, which is coming clean and being honest and letting your wife know really what's going on, and then letting somebody else who can help you know what's really going on.
And he's also got to determine, don't you think, that he's got to determine what he's going to do regarding his identity. I mean, because that's really, I mean, we talk about getting help or about talking to somebody, but, you know, you got some people that say, yeah, I'll let everybody know, and then I'll divorce my wife and I'll go jump into the gay lifestyle. And you know, I think the bent that we've got on this is you need to talk to somebody, because what you're in right now is the right context for dealing with this. Jumping out and simply following your false identity is not the solution, at least not in my eyes, or in God's eyes anyway.
Well, and certainly not in my eyes. It's the easier solution at times, because it's going to feel easier than struggling through this marriage. But the best thing is about it is God offers great rewards once you've struggled through. And you can go into the life, or you can go into what I call homosexual addiction even further, because that's really all the gay life is it's just a place where homosexual addiction is readily accepted. You can do that, but you're only going to find emptiness. What you have now is God's gift to you. You just have to learn how to use the gift and help him show you what the gift's worth is. Because right now, all you're seeing it as a good friend, as a somebody who's supposed to be there to support you. And through pressing in and sharpening each other and working together, you can learn how to truly love one another as God intends if you continue the fight.
Now, what do you say to the wife who needs to respond to this confession? I mean, when he comes clean, let's say some of the guys in our audience, they take it to heart and say, you know what, that's what I needed to hear. That's the push I needed to get over the edge. I do need to go to my wife and tell her this. Okay. Now, Lee, what do you say to that wife who's about to get the news of her life?
Well, I would speak to the guy who's about to give the news of his life first, that it may not go well, and he needs to know that. But it not going well is better than it staying where it's at.
Right.
Because it's a really dry place. If he at least comes to her and comes clean, then there's more of a chance of it going to that place of abundance where God wants it versus just living in the status quo, which is not a fun place to be. For the wife, I guess I would say, first of all, the whole range of emotions are probably acceptable for you. Hurt, anger, rage, sadness, all of the above. Desperation, because it's like, how do I compete with this? He's fantasizing about men. He's not fantasizing about other women. I can't even compete with that. And that the hopelessness can feel really overwhelming. Like there's no hope here. I can't change the way he feels. You know, at least if it were another woman, I could try to do something, but it's not another woman. It's somebody I can't compete with, which is another man. So there can be an overwhelming sense of hopelessness, because what do I do now? I can't do anything. But what you can do is join your husband in the fight to help your marriage be better than what it was before. And wives may say, well, why do I have to do that? This is his issue. Mm-hmm. Well, God has put you together. And husbands and wives, you have to ask yourself why God put you together in the first place. Did he put you together? And then you have to answer that question. And if you believe he did put you together, then he put you together for a reason. And so you have a God-given role in this place to help your husband be the man he's meant to be, just as he's got a God-given role to help you be the woman you're meant to be.
Now, I want to touch on one other area before we wrap up this broadcast, and that is the church. Because I know there are a lot of couples in this particular situation in the church. What is the church's role in helping this couple through this situation? I mean, what do you see is, I mean, what would you say to the church as a group when this guy comes forward to his wife, says what he needs to say, she responds in a manner that says, I'm sticking by your side, we can work through this. Where does the church come in terms of kind of getting this couple over the top, so to speak, to a brand new marriage?
Well, hopefully the church will step up and support the wife first. We're proud of you for staying in your marriage. We're going to help you in this process. You're doing God's will here by honoring your covenant of marriage that you made. And we're going to help you as the church. Some churches go just the opposite and say, well, he's gay, you can't change him, so you need to move on. And that's not God's will. It's not God's truth. So I think the church, first of all, has to say that. And then they also have to say, we're going to honor you in helping you get through this hump in your marriage like we would any other marriage who was having problems. Because what it basically says is this guy needs support. He needs it to get through this, and this wife needs support to be carried over this hump as well. And if the church doesn't provide that safe place to do that, because certainly marriage seminars, marriage building weekends, all of those things can help in this process. But sometimes there's a little additional stuff that need to be done, like how do I work past these feelings that I have? How do I work past, you know, this attraction? You got to work on that too at the same time.
Well, and don't you think it's also, I mean, there's the day in, day out, week in, week out issues of just needing continual encouragement. And you can't always get that at a one-time marriage seminar. It's like that's kind of where your local church has to kind of step up to the plate and say, we are here to spur you on and to encourage you and support you in this.
Yes, and that's exactly right. I mean, it has to be, there has to be that. And there also has to be a counselor or someone who's been through that, who can at least help, because most marriage counselors won't know where to begin with this. Mm-hmm. And this is where the man's responsible. This husband is responsible for helping, for acknowledging that he must deal with his same-sex attraction. He can't just say, well, it's a marital issue. He also then has to add to it, it's also a same-sex attraction issue, and I must deal with where the hurts are that caused this to be here in the first place.
And that's sometimes a similarity between heterosexual and homosexual addiction, is that when it's involved in a marriage, the couples are quick to jump to marriage stuff without looking at the addiction components first.
Exactly. If you don't do the addiction component first, the marriage is still doomed to fail, because that husband or that man's responsibility is to look at where this all started.
Great. Well, thanks, Lee. Listeners, we are glad that you've been with us this week, and we hope that this has been helpful to you. You know, for those of you listeners, especially you couples that may be struggling in this specific area where the husband is dealing with just secret homosexual thoughts and feelings, we want to help you. And so we are going to give you our contact information here in just a moment. And we really ask that you would contact us so that we can provide you the help that you need to take those first initial steps and get started on a journey that is like nothing else you've ever experienced before. And it is a good thing, and God does bless us when we seek to pursue truth. We are glad that you've been with us, and we look forward to having you back here again next week.
Today's Purity Pointer, making a point that makes a difference. Brought to you by Pure Sex Radio.
deal with the root. Many times those who struggle with repeatedly succumbing to their sexual lusts falsely assume their problem lies with the various inappropriate behaviors they are engaging. But the root of the problem with lust is not the behaviors, but rather the pride underneath them. We believe we can handle temptations in our own wisdom and our own strength. That is foolish pride. Begin today to kill your pride, surrender to God, and ask for help.
Purity Pointer is a service of Pure Sex Radio. Listen to more Purity Pointers at puresexradio.com.
Is your marriage dead or dying? Did your spouse have an affair? Does your spouse tell you that he or she doesn't love you anymore? Maybe the counselor that you're going to see or even a pastor has told you that your relationship is beyond repair. If this describes you and your marriage, I want to give you some good news. We have a resource now in our library called Can My Marriage Be Saved? True Stories of Saved Marriages. There are over 20 stories of real-life marriages who have been maybe where you're at, whether it be infidelity, whether it be the death of a child, whether it be bankruptcy, some other sort of strain, something that has caused you to feel like your love for one another has died and the marriage needs to end. There's good news. Your marriage doesn't have to end. It can be saved. Gain inspiration from these wonderful stories throughout here. Real stories from real people, real couples who have faced similar situations that you might be in, and learn how their marriages were saved. This book, Can My Marriage Be Saved, is filled with true stories of couples whose marriages were restored even after being deemed hopeless by friends, family, counselors, even their pastors. These true stories can offer you hope no matter how troubled your marriage might be. And there are ministries listed at the end of each story that can provide practical help for hurting couples. Contact our ministry today and we can tell you how you can get a copy of Can My Marriage Be Saved? True Stories of Saved Marriages.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries.